Amen. All that will come to us is altar for prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. It truly is the day you've made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for letting us get up today. Lord, we just pray for each and every person here, Father, that you have them here for a reason and that your word will speak to us today. And just pray you prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Father God, for those who are not able to be here today due to sickness and travel, we just pray, God, that you'll heal them and grant them travel mercies. And Father, just pray we'll continue to move in the direction you'd have us to go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. And all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, for our morning hymn, let's all turn over to page 245. Page 245. You can remain seated for this song. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 245. Let's all stand and turn over to page 624. 624, since Jesus came into my heart. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse.
I have light in my soul for when
floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in the city of love. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Amen, Brother Jeff.
Thank you, Brother Dave, for everything you do. Man, your house now. Pay your tithes and offers and you do your will. Now I pray, amen.
Amen.
So I'll stand to sing page 347 for our praise song. Lord, I lift your name on high. 347. Take a few moments and greet each other in God's love.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Everybody have a good week.
Amen.
No, that's a yes or no question. Did everybody have a good week?
Yes.
Okay, amen. All right. I'm just messing with you, Reezy. Just seeing if you're awake.
Of course I am.
Well,
it's
I hope everybody had a good week. You know, as long as you're a born-again believer, even the worst week is a good week. Amen.
Amen.
Because we know what the deal is. I want to talk to you today about rewards that are awaiting us. You see, God has done something great for those of us who love the Lord. And is there anyone else needs the sermon notes, by the way? We got them up here. If we didn't get you one, please let us know. We'll get you one. You know, God's done something great. First of all, He sent His, sent a part of Himself in a man named Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, so that we would be forgiven for any past, present, and future sins if we call on His name and believe in Him. That's a great thing, amen? It's great to know that. But He's also done something great in that He's prepared a place for His children. And one day we're going to all be reunited there, those of us who believe in Jesus as our Savior. And that place is called heaven. What a great day that's going to be when we're in the presence of Jesus. That's going to be a great day, isn't it?
Amen.
We'll see Him as He is and we'll know Him as He is. But God's prepared that place. Now, how much that we enjoy heaven, of course, don't get me wrong. Being there is going to be a great honor. It's going to be a great thing. It'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. But guys, I want to help you understand that what we do here on this earth will determine the amount and level of reward we get in heaven. I want to read some scripture with you today, and we're going to break it down. I'm kind of going to do this thing in two parts here this morning. I'm going to go over our sermon notes first just to kind of lay the groundwork, and then I want to explain exactly what everything is that I'm fixing to talk about. Does that make sense? I'm going to go over that first, then I'm going to give you an explanation as to what this is all about. Because, you know, some people think that they're really earning some jewels in their crown, when in reality they're not, because of the motives in which they're doing things. Now, God looks at the heart. Isn't that a good thing?
Amen.
He looks at our heart, but guess what? He knows our every thought too. Amen.
Amen.
So that can be a bad thing if we're not careful. That kind of scares me to know that God already knows what I'm fixing to say before I say it. He knows what I'm thinking before I let it come into voice. And He knows the intentions of my heart. I don't believe that anybody in this room today has the intention of purposefully doing wrong. I don't believe that anybody in this room has the intention of, well, I'm just going to do things my way and God's just going to have to get on board with it. That's not, hopefully, the way anybody thinks in here. But I do believe that some of us need to work on our hearts, myself included sometimes. We need to make sure that our motives are in line with what we need to be doing for God. So we're going to begin today by saying this. Our God-given purpose is to glorify our Heavenly Father, amen? That should be the goal of every believer, to glorify our Heavenly Father. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Guys, as believers, we're responsible to do God's work. One day, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be held accountable for our service. Now, judgment can be a daunting term, can't it? When you hear the word judgment, we think of punishment and penalty. It can be scary. But guys, we got to remember this, though, that Jesus redeemed us. Think about that for a minute. Jesus redeemed us by His death and resurrection, and He has already paid the penalty for our sin. Amen? Isn't that a good thing to know? How many of you born-again believers in Jesus?
Amen.
Your sin has been paid for. If you mess up when you walk out this door, your sin has been paid for. You have been covered by the blood of Jesus. By His grace, you have been covered for past, present, and future transgressions. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, If you know Jesus as your Savior, you are no longer condemned. Can I get a witness? Amen. You're no longer condemned. You are freed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. But now I want to say this though. 1 John chapter 3 verse 6 says, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Now some of you may be thinking right now, well preacher, does that mean if I sin I don't know Jesus? No, that's not what that's saying. That's saying that someone who continues to live a life of deliberate, purposeful sin does not know Jesus as their Savior. They may say they do, but they don't in reality. That's what this is saying. Guys, because let me tell you something. I know because I've seen it firsthand in some of your lives. When the Holy Spirit of God came into your heart, you began to become a new creature in Christ. And guess what? That work continues throughout your life.
Amen.
It's not over with as soon as you accept Jesus as your Savior. You don't just one day wake up, oh, I'm a born again believer now. Everything's good. It's going to all be in the right direction now. No, it's a work in progress. We continue to grow. We don't just stop growing once we accept Jesus. In fact, the change begins from the inside out. Jesus doesn't change you from the outside in. He changes you from the inside out. He starts in your heart and works his way to the outside. So that, guess what? If he has your heart in the right place, he's going to be able to do great things with you on the outside, isn't he?
Amen.
But if your heart's in the wrong place, he's not going to be able to do anything with you on the outside. So we've got to get our heart in the right place. Guys, isn't it comforting to know that because of the shed blood of Jesus, our Savior, we are no longer condemned for our sins? If we have accepted him as our Savior, we're no longer condemned for those. You know, I think some people think, I accepted Jesus. I know I was saved, but I've done some terrible things since then. I don't think God loves me anymore. Let me tell you, I've told you this before. God cannot love you any less or any more than he loves you right now today. Amen?
Yeah.
That doesn't change. It doesn't matter if you're the worst person on earth by the world's standards. It doesn't matter if you're the worst criminal in the world. It doesn't matter if you're a member of ISIS. It doesn't matter if you're some horrible person. God loves you just as much as he does you and I. That's hard to believe and hard to understand sometimes, but that's the way God's love is. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It will not change. It will not change. Guys, we're going to receive rewards one day as believers based on the works we perform here on this earth. Let's take a look today at our text and let's see what this is all about. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 today.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 6 through 15 today. Let me explain a little bit about these verses. I don't want to leave you shaking your head and scratching your head today. That's why I'm going to explain what all this is about. And I'm going to paraphrase it because I know how Baptists are. If we start getting close to 12 o'clock, our mind shuts down. Amen? So I'm going to try to get this over and done before it gets 12 o'clock, all right? But I'm going to explain to you what this scripture is talking about today. I'm going to ask those of you who can, if you will, stand to your feet in the honor and reverence of reading God's Word. We're going to begin with verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, for every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Father God, we just ask now, Lord, you bless the reading of your word. Lord, let these next few minutes be nothing about me, but let it be all about you. Lord, I pray you'll challenge our hearts and minds today, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, while we are on this earth, God is going to test our actions. God's going to test our actions. Our text today likens this to proving the quality of a substance through fire. Guys, when you put something in a fire, it's going to do one of two things. It's going to purify it and make it stronger or better, or it's going to destroy it. When you put it in the fire, that's what's going to happen. We're to be the foundational layers for Jesus. We're to be laying the foundation for Jesus in what we do, what we think, what we say, how we act around other people. See, we're laying that foundation. Verse 10 of our text tells us, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. And someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. Now, I want you to remember that part, because when I come back and explain this thing in a minute, I'm going to explain to you what it means by build with care. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus, you are a builder. You are laying foundation so that someone else can come along and build upon that. And how you build and what you choose to build with is very important. In other words, Paul's telling us that we're to be sowing seeds of faith into the lives of others so that a foundation in Jesus can begin to be built. Guys, we're the sowers. We're the waterers. But God is the grower. You've got to understand that. Some people think to themselves, I just don't see anything happening in this person's life. I've been witnessing to them. I've been praying to them. I've been praying with them. I just don't see anything happening. Guess what? That's not your job. Your job is to sow and to water and to continue to nurture. But it's God's job to grow. Amen. Only God can bring about that growth and can bring about that change in that person's life. You can't save anybody. You couldn't even save yourself. Amen. You sure can't save somebody else. Amen. It's by the shed blood of Jesus that you're saved. For by grace are you saved. By faith, not through works, lest any man should boast. Yeah. See, it's by our faith in Jesus that we're saved. And Jesus is the grower. Our job is to be in laying the foundation in Jesus Christ so he can build upon it in the lives of those with whom we are trying to reach. Paul does caution us, however, though, that we should build with care. Build with care. He's telling us we should be laying foundation with the right motives, guys. We should be laying that foundation with the right motives. I don't know what the intent of your heart is, but let me tell you something. I can see you from the exterior. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Some people are quick to tell other people, why are you judging me? You shouldn't be judging me. I'm not going to judge you, but I am looking at you. I am seeing what you're doing. I'm seeing what kind of foundation you're laying. I'm going to let God judge you, because trust me, he's going to do a whole lot better job of it than I will. Amen? Some of us better be thinking about that a little bit closer. Because I think some of us think, oh, they're just concerned about people judging them and this and that. What about what Jesus is going to do one day? Don't you wish that somebody would come into your life every now and then when you need it and kind of get you over to the side in a godly way with meekness and kindness and love and say, look, man, you got to change some things. This is just, you're just being out of character here. You're not doing what Jesus is calling you to do. That's what we're called to do, by the way. We're called to help each other in those times and help each other in a godly way. See, if we do it in a godly way, then we're going to glorify God. We're not going to disappoint him. We're going to glorify him. So guys, it's all about our motives. It's all about our motives. What is the motive of your heart? Only you can answer that. I can't answer that for you. From the outside, we may look as if we're living obediently. We may look that way on the outside. I come to church. I read my Bible. I pray some. I try to do good. See, on the outside, we can appear to be obedient and living obediently, striving to honor Jesus. These tasks may appear selfless and honorable on the outside. Yet underneath the noble appearance, there can be ugly motives, guys. Some people are operating with the wrong motive for what they do. Look at verses 11 through 13. It tells us, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. Guys, we're often deceiving ourselves about the reason for our actions. If we're struggling with doing things the right motive, with the right motives, we can ask Jesus to purify and change our hearts. If we're doing something the right way and we're just messing up a little along the way, we can ask Jesus to change the motive of our heart. God, help me to do it for the right reason. And in just a minute, I'm going to give you some examples of what those six things mean. He talked about gold, silver, precious stones, and he talked about wood, hay, and straw. Guys, those are building materials. I want you to think about that for a minute, because we're going to come back to that. Verse 8 of our text tells us, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. Each of them is going to be rewarded according to their own labor. How much are you willing to put in for the kingdom is going to be how much you take out as your reward. How much are you willing to do with the right heart and mind? That's what you're going to take away with you. That's exactly what you're going to take away with you. Paul's telling us here that we all have a mission in pouring into the lives of others. And based on our actions, we're going to be rewarded according to the intent of our heart while we're doing that labor. What's the intent of your heart? Only you can answer that. What is your heart set? All I can do is observe from the outside. I can't see what's going on the inside. Some of you may be earning some jewels in your crown, but you're just not letting a lot of people know it. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. Because sometimes we shouldn't let others know when we're doing good things for people. In fact, the Bible tells us, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Because I'm going to tell you this, some people who want everybody to know what they're doing, they're building their foundation out of hay, straw, and wood. I'm going to tell you more about that in just a minute. God's going to test our motives one day as if by fire. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. Fire is no joke. When it comes roaring through, the only things left behind are things that were strong enough to endure. You ever went to a fire after the fire had already come through and a house burned down or whatever? The only things you see left in that house are things made out of metal or rocks and things like that. Everything else burned up. It's gone. Why? Because it was built out of materials that cannot withstand that kind of heat and that kind of change. Once the fire burns away, impure motives and worthless tasks, the Lord will give rewards for those for that which remains. See, once those worthless things are burned away from our life, then God's going to see who we really are and what we're really about. And that's how we're going to get our rewards. Verse 14 says, if what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. Amen. Did you hear that? Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Look at the verse right here. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. That's a big if, isn't it? In other words, when you're at the judgment seat of Christ, and when Jesus is there judging you, and oh yeah, guess what? He can do that, amen? And he's going to do that. When he's sitting there and he's judging you, he's looking through your heart. He's looking through your record. He's seeing if what you did was with the right action and the right motive. And that's what he's going to give you your reward based on. I'm going to give you some great examples here in a minute. Hang with me, okay? Hang with me. Those of you usually asleep right now, wake up. Come on. Because it's going to be good here in a minute. Amen. It's going to be getting better. It's going to be getting better. Guys, in other words, if the true intent of our heart was to glorify God with what we do in our lives, we will receive rewards for those actions. You're going to receive a reward. If you're doing what your heart should be doing for the Lord, you're going to get those rewards. Paul also tells us in verse 15 something very important. Listen carefully to this verse. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though as only one escaping through the flames. In other words, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus, even though you may be losing reward because the exterior is burned away and there's not a lot of stuff there to reward you for, if Jesus knows you accepted Him as your Savior, you're going to make it. But it could be a whole lot better. That's what I want to let you know. Now, I want to jump over here for a few minutes, and then I'm going to bring this to a close. I won't be long, I promise you. But I want to say this, guys. First of all, God's concerned that we build with quality. God's concerned we build with quality. This church does not belong to me. It does not belong to you all. This is God's church, amen?
Amen.
This is His church. We're to build from within this church for His kingdom using quality materials. Look at the verse. It said, now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident. Now I'm going to tell you something. On the surface, what does that look like? On the surface, it looks like Paul's saying, oh, there's six things you can build with. No, there's only two that's really talking about. It's talking about quality things, and it's talking about perishable things. Perishable things. What are you building with? Are you building with things that are going to last, that are going to withstand the fire of time and judgment? Or are you building things in your life that are based on wood, hay, and straw that are going to get burned away? Gold, silver, precious stones are quality materials that are fit for building the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
But wood, hay, and straw, these are just worthless tasks in God's eyes that are going to be destroyed by the fire. So if you're building with wood, hay, and straw, you're building with the wrong materials. You know how? You know how you know if you're doing that? You know what the intention of your heart is. Is it to glorify God or glorify you? Is it to point to Jesus or point to others recognizing you? That's what it's about. See, those materials are perishable things. Nobody builds a house out of those things. You want your house to be strong, don't you? You start it from the foundation up. Nobody builds the house they're planning on living the rest of their life in with cheap, worthless materials. It will not stand the test of time. It won't stand the weather. It won't stand the heat. It won't stand the day-by-day usage. If you build them with wood, hay, and straw, it's going to fall in. You want a quality place to live, don't you? Well, guess what? Jesus wants a quality place to live right here in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
He wants you to be building with those precious stones and that silver and that gold. Amen. He wants what you're building to be something that fire cannot destroy. That's what He's talking about here. That's what He's talking about. Let me give you some examples of what I think building with precious materials are and building with worthless materials are. Let me just quote you a few real quick. I would suggest to you that a heart of service is like using gold, silver, and precious stones to build your heart set. A heart of service. Are you a true servant? Do you want to do anything you can for the kingdom? Do you want to go out and help the needy? Do you want to go out and do good things for people? Do you want to give to them not expecting anything in return? Because you know what? That's what God's Word says. You know what so many of us are concerned with? You're afraid to give somebody $5 that looks like they're in need of it because they can't pay you back. We're not supposed to worry about that. See, that's building with precious stones and silver and gold. That shows your heart's in the right place. Too many people are worried about, I can't give that man nothing, he's fake. It's not your job to worry about it. The Holy Spirit of God's leading you to give something to somebody, you give it. And you give it with a glad heart. You don't give it with straw, hay, and wood as the building material behind what you're doing. I believe this. I believe that while spiritual laziness and the attitude of let others do it, I've done my time. I've done enough around here. Guys, that's a heart of wood, straw, and hay. Guess what? Keep doing it. Keep moving. Keep having the right attitude. Keep having it. That's self-centeredness. That's stinginess. That's a heart built out of wood, straw, and hay right there. Because Jesus didn't show any of those characteristics. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus was love. Jesus was compassion. Jesus was service. He said, I came not to be served, I came to serve. That's what He's called us all to do. He's called us to be servants. How can you be a servant if your heart's not in the right place? You can't. It's impossible. You can't do that. I want to give you a little story here real quick to illustrate what I just talked about here. A wealthy woman died one day and went to heaven. An angel then took her to her heavenly home, which was a plain, old, ordinary building. Right next door to her was her gardener, who had a huge mansion. Now picture this. She said, how did my gardener get a mansion and I get a plain old ordinary building? The angel then said, well, we only build with the materials you send us. Think about that. We only build your heavenly mansion with the materials you send us. You send us gold. You send us silver. You send us precious stones. And you will have one of those mansions that is talked about in the book of John. Amen. You build with straw. You build with hay. You build with wood. Then you may have a little shack on the outskirts of heaven. Amen. Don't think it ain't possible. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you. You're going to be living in some lean-to up there in heaven. Think about it. You may be over there in a tent somewhere over in heaven. It sounds funny, doesn't it? But I can see that just as clear as day.
Amen.
What you build with is what your mansion's going to be built with in heaven. I believe that with all my heart. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, some people are going to have a little shabby place to stay up there in heaven. You're going to be glad you're there. But you're going to look over there and say, that's the lady who used to clean my house. She's living in this big house. Here I am over here in a tent. Happy that you got your tent. Don't get me wrong. But looking over there and saying what might have been. Amen. Guys, I'm telling you, that's what it's all about. He wants you to know that one day your work, both the obvious and the unknown to someone, is going to be judged by Christ. I want you to know that. It's going to be judged by Him. You know, that fire is coming and only those quality materials are going to last. Only those things are going to last. And I want to just point out this last verse to you and I'm going to close. Because see, guys, we talked about six things you can build on. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. You need to search your heart today. What are you building the kingdom with? What is your heart's intent? Because some of you need to change your building supplier. Amen. Some of you are buying wood, hay, and straw. You need to be buying some gold, silver, and precious stones. It's what you need to be getting. I'm going to give you an example here. This is about losing reward, okay? Think back to when you were a kid, maybe. And I'm just using an example here. Let's say that your dad told you, okay, if you keep your room clean every day, at the end of the week, we're going to go eat pizza. That might motivate you to keep your room clean. But think about this one. If your dad said, I'm going to give you $10 at the end of the week if your room is clean, but I'm taking $2 every day away from you if it's not clean. Now think about that. I think the loss of reward there would far more impact you than losing pizza at the end of the week, wouldn't it? Because something is being taken from you directly. That's what Paul's talking about here. Guys, you're directly going to be losing things that you could be rewarded for. You're going to be losing things. The loss of reward would hurt the most, I believe. That should serve as some kind of motivation. If I knew I was losing money every time I didn't clean my room, it would hurt me a whole lot more come Friday when I only got $4 handed to me and I could have had 10. That would hurt, wouldn't it? Forget the pizza. Where's the money? Show me the money. Forget the pizza. See, that's what it's going to be like, guys. I'm trying to use an example. I know it's kind of funny to think about, but guys, it's serious. That's what it's going to be like. That's the way it's going to be. And the last part was this. You know, heaven's going to be a place of joy. There's no question about it. But I do believe that there will be some regret when you're seated at the judgment seat of Christ. I believe there's going to be regret for what might have been. You know, the last verse says, verse 15 tells us, let me read that one more time. It said, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so is by fire. In other words, if you're a born-again believer, you're in. I don't believe you can lose your salvation. That's just not biblical to me. But I do believe this. Some people never had it to lose. Amen? That's the difference. That's the difference. But once you're in, you're in. But what Paul's saying here is, some of you could have had so much more if you'd just been willing to build with the right materials. Could have had so much more. Look at this example right here, and then I'm done. Imagine last year that your insurance agent came up to you and he said, you know what, I've been reviewing your homeowner's policy and I believe you're about $50,000 underinsured. I'd like you to, let's step that up where if something were to happen, we'd have your house covered and you wouldn't lose any money out of pocket. And your response is this, well, let me go home and think about it for a week or two and I'll get back with you. That very night you're awakened by your smoke alarm going off. Your house is on fire. You round up your kids and your spouse and you break a window out and you get outside the house just before the whole thing goes up in flame. Once outside, you watch in horror as your house is burning down. If you've ever been involved in a house fire, you know how horrifying that is. Everything in there gone. You better hope and pray you had good insurance on it, or everything will be gone. What emotions do you feel at that moment? Certainly you're relieved about the fact that you got yourself and your family out. Your life is worth way more than those possessions. But you also feel a deep sense of regret since you could have made a difference as to what you would receive because of that fire. That fire purified and cleansed your house. And you didn't have enough coverage. Why? Because you didn't do it the way that God really wanted you to do it. And now you've suffered personal loss on top of all of this other loss. Guys, you made a wrong choice. Your joy of survival is tempered by your feelings of regret. What I'm saying here today is, when Jesus judges us and that fire, don't get me wrong here, fire is kind of used as a symbol here. But when God's judgment comes into your life at the end of your life at the judgment seat of Christ, don't have regrets and look back and say, you know what, I should have done this different. I should have done that different. Guys, you all have an opportunity to earn great rewards in heaven. But that's going to be up to you and the type of building materials you choose to use.
Amen.
Some of you are using too much wood, straw, and hay right now. Some of you are all about wanting to bring the glory to yourself and not the glory to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Guys, if you're ever doing something with the intention of making yourself look good, Jesus is going to make you look real bad one day. Amen?
Amen.
He's going to make you look bad because he's going to point out to you those things were rubbish. When the fire consumed them, they were gone. But if you're building with stone, precious stones, silver, gold, they will stand the test of time. And when all is said and done, there will be great rewards waiting you. They'll be there awaiting you when you cross over that threshold. And in the final time, when we're all faced with Jesus one-on-one, and he starts laying our heart bare, what's he going to reveal to you? I believe some of you need to change your building supplier right now. You need to change the materials you're building with. And guess what? It's never too late, guys. Some of you, I know what some of you are thinking. I'm 80 years old. It's too late for me to change my builder. No, it isn't. It's just the right time for you to do it. Amen. Because probably, statistically, you're closer to seeing Jesus than some of the rest of us are. Amen. Get your building materials right. It's never too late to start doing good. It's never too late to have a heart for serving Jesus.
Amen.
But you've got to make the decision, guys. I can't make it for you. Nobody can make that decision for you. The question is this. What are you building with? I only hope and pray that you will make the right choice as far as how you build. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for every person here. Lord, I thank you that you do look at our heart. Because we're saved, God, you've covered us with your grace. If we mess up along the way, we're forgiven. We confess it. We repent of it. We move on. But Lord, if our hearts are in the wrong place and we're building with the wrong materials, those are things that we're going to carry into eternity as far as how well we get rewarded by you. I pray that each and every person here today will search their heart and soul. Because God, I know that there's some great people here today who are building with gold, silver, and precious stones. But there may be some people here today that are building with the wrong kind of materials. Materials that will not last. And if that's the case, God, I pray they'll come up here to this altar and they'll pray for you, God, to change them. Lord, you are a changer of motives. You're a changer of the heart. Of the way we think, the way we do. If we just call on your name and just cry out to you, Lord, that we need help. You will hear our cries. You will heal us. and you will restore us and move us in the right direction. And Father, I pray that today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Becky?
Page 509.
Page 509. Let's stand and sing page 509.